I know I said I had no plan on doing an order my steps this week because it being Resurrection Weekend, He is Risen Sunday. But there has been a topic that's been coming up over and over again concerning this vaccine for the COVID that has been misleading that I want to make sure I give clarity to. So I've been led to put this special order my steps on the Mark of the Beast. Unfortunately, we have people that like to take pieces of the Bible and misuse it, and in turn, we end up misleading those who really don't know the word or those who are trying to know the word. Hopefully, one thing this lesson will show you how important it is for us to understand the word, to be students of the word. So this topic is going to go over the mark of the beast. Now, let me first say, too many people out there are scared to get the vaccine, and in turn, what we tend to do is we tend to use, oh, I'm scared because Bill Gates or somebody else put some chip in it, and then I'm going to get the mark of the beast put into my arm. Man. Now, in no way is this a referendum for anybody to go out and get the vaccine or not get the vaccine. That's between you or God. Nowhere does it show it's ungodly not to take it, nowhere does it show it's ungodly to take it. Either which way, that's between you and God. For anybody that tries to push an effort that getting it is some way against God, then you might as well stop taking all your medication, which God does not endorse. But for those of you who then push just the science part that you must get it and show it, I think history alone shows us when we trust in man on some of these things, it has been very destructive and dangerous. So you must have this between you and God if you take the vaccine or not. That's totally between you and God. Okay? I want to make sure that's clear. So this is not me standing on one side or the other. But what I want to make sure is that we're not following some conspiracies, because there's a ton of them out there, that are misleading us when we have the clear word of God for us to have. So let's understand what is the mark of the beast. First of all, we have to understand who is the beast. We see in Revelations 13, 11 through 14, he says, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf." Now, due to time's sake, I encourage you to read Revelations 13, starting in verse 1 through 10, and that it describes the first beast. Now, once again, hopefully one day we'll get into a study of the book of Revelations, but the first beast, you're going to realize it's the one that comes with multiple heads and their form of different animals and with many horns and so on and so forth. And I can only tell you what we and scholars and people think the beast is. And I think we're, people are in much agreement of that first beast is supposedly going to be a country of some sort or a combination of countries. Now, unfortunately, some people thought it was the country, the Vatican, where the Catholic Church is. Some have said it's going to be the United States of Europe. Okay, some say it's going to be that. I've even heard some it's going to be a combination of certain nations together in there. And you have arguments for each of these. Who exactly it is, I think we're in agreement. It's going to be some sort of country that's going to be led by 10 kingdoms or governments in that country. That's the first beast, which then will be endorsed by this main person. We're going to go in depth on this main person who we call the beast, or other words, the man of lawlessness. So it says, this man of lawlessness, this is he, verse 12 again, exercises all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. So this country is going to be a takeover world country. Oh, in fact, I have to throw in here, some think it's the United Nations. Okay. Either which way, it's saying that this first beast, who's going to be this man of sin, he's going to be this this person that's really going to represent something. It says, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. So this guy is going to have influence, and he's going to make people follow this one world government, if you will. And that's why people are talking about Illuminati and the one world government. And that's why some say United Nations. And okay, there may be some behind that, but just pay close attention, because God shows us how to be protected from this. It says, whose fatal wound has been healed. Now, what that's talking about, once again, when you read about the first beast, there was a wound that happened to one of the kingdoms or kings But then this is revived again. So supposedly there was a kingdom that has been destroyed, but it came back to life in this same one. Some say it's Germany, some say it's another pope. You know, the popes got more strong. Either which way, we're not going to get caught up in that, but just let give you an idea of what that means. Now in verse 13, it says he, and still talking about this man of lawlessness, who we know as the beast in Revelation, performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. This is one of the reasons we did the study, and if you didn't listen to it, please go back to the order of my steps concerning signs and wonders, or just signs. Because you have a lot of Christians today who still follow signs. I seen this, so that must have been a sign from God. And we've seen clearly where God says, I'm not giving you any other signs other than the sign of Jonah. That was with Jesus being in the ground 3 days and three nights. Y'all get this. Okay? So this person's going to come and he's going to do signs. And for those Christians, once again, who are not following the word, but following sensationalism and people who just give them a lot of stuff in books and once again, all this other nonsense, you're going to be misled. In fact, we must be aware of what he uses to deceive. What does he use to deceive? Watch this. I'm going on in Revelations 13, 14 through 17. It says, because of the signs, y'all see that? He was given power to do on behalf of the first beast of this nation that's going to be misleading. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. I can assure you right now, if people seen a man do this magic that you can't in any way describe, and you know it's only supernatural, people are going to be, you got me. I'm going to follow you. And this is what's going to happen with this man. Go on, it says, he then ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Oh, so now there's this statue, image, symbol of some sort to be put up there of that first thing that was wounded. Once again, could be a nation, a king, whatever it is that now is back, whatever that means, for everybody to worship it. So now you have the man of sin who's going to be this king that people are supposed to follow and worship, and he makes a symbol of a statue or of some sort that people are supposed to image and follow. It goes on in verse 15. He was given power to breathe, to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. So at this time, this thing is either going to supernaturally be able to talk, or it's going to, within itself, have a voice. What I mean by that, the symbol itself is going to represent and/or say. But either which way, it's going to now give you rules of worship. Now, if Christians aren't worshiping in spirit and in truth, if you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, you're going to miss this. And you're not going to understand if you're worshiping or if you're not. This is why we have to be clear on our true understanding of the word. Okay? Because it will get fuzzy for those who don't understand that. When you have these people that are worshiping their way and not worshiping his way, big part of our protection. It goes on to verse 16. Watch this. Now here's the key. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, key being or. Now, some say the mark is a symbol of something. It's not an actual mark. Some say it represents something. We're going to talk about that. And some say it's an actual tattoo. Some say it's an injection of some sort. And if you notice, it says the right hand. So some people have said, well, the reason why they say the right hand or the forehead, because of course not everybody has the right hand. Sometimes it's been removed. So the only other place they'll put it instead of on their left hand is on their forehead. So they said they're either going to inject it in their forehead or put a tattoo on their forehead or on their hand. That's what this mark is supposed to be. Now, stopping there throughout history, then people jump and call everything the mark of the beast. In fact, let me read on to show you what we have done to just cause confusion, and we have distorted this so much that people are either confused on it or they about had it. It says in verse 17, it says, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, what does it mean, the number of his name? Well, Revelations 13:18 shows that. It says, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Now, over time, one set of alphabet that also each letter represents a number, of course, is the Latin alphabet. So when people really grasped this, they dove on the Latin alphabet, and now we've turned everybody from the Pope, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama, George Bush, the Clintons, everyone, we have done it, and there's some way or another you would do a combination of a name, and it came up 666, and then those people are gone, and it didn't work out that way, and so what? You understand this? And they're taking these numbers. What if it's not the Latin system? What if it's through a whole nother? But we just know his name is going to calculate this. Praise God. We have that. I just don't think we have enough to know who exactly who that is, or it's not, he's not around yet for us to get it. But the calculation of his name is going to be that. So the mark is going to be this number, which represents his name. So these are going to come in the form of 666, which is, I think, is a little too obvious, or it'll be his name. Think about that. His actual name will be either on the foreheads or on the hands, and without it, you can't buy and you can't sell. Now, let's get an understanding of this man of lawlessness before we go deeper into this mark and what will happen with it and what it's not, and then just how we stay protected from it. First of all, if you went back to 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4, we have to show you God warns us about this man, and he lets us know he will go totally against God. Now, I have to know what that means in order to stay protected, because you have a lot of people, once again, who claim to worship God, but as the Bible says, they're not following what the Bible says when it talks about worshiping God. You get me? It shows in 2 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 2, starting in 1, it says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, talking about the rapture, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Now, the day of the Lord is going to be the wrath of God, believe it or not. That's a whole nother study in itself. And supposedly before that happens, there's going to be a rapture for those who are called the pre-trib group, in which they're saying he's going to grab all the Christians who believe at that time and take them, rapture them up away so they don't have to deal with the tribulation at all. Now, you do have other tribulation groups. You have mid-tribs, those who are saying, nope, it's not going to happen until 3.5 years into the tribulation. You have post-trib, those who are saying, nope, he's not going to come until all tribulation is over. So, of course, Christians who are living are going to have to go through the tribulation. And then you have multi-trib, those people are saying there's going to be multi-little raptures in which he's going to come and snatch up people throughout the entire time. Whole nother study, okay? But a lot of people today, a majority are pre-trib, who's saying the rapture is going to happen first, so no Christian is going to have to go through the tribulation. Now, problem with that is some of you read 1 Corinthians 13, which is well into the tribulation, you're going to realize the word saints. Now, where the people who are pre-trib will argue with saying these are people that became saved after the tribulation. Fair enough. I don't know, but fair enough. We'll leave it at that. Okay. But going on with that, it's saying this guy says, he says in verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Don't let anyone, did you catch that? Don't let anyone deceive you. Deception is a choice. The Bible keeps showing us that. Please don't play the victim and say, I'm so confused. If we just follow God, you will not be deceived. What tends to happen is we hear what God says very clear, but we allow some other action to make us still do things in other ways. He's saying, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Then he gives us clarity in God's word. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. That's the first thing. What's the rebellion? In which the entire world is totally going against God and actually attacking the saints. Now, the frustrating thing is we have groups today who, in God's name, are doing things that's not based on God. But to the ignorant, we're looking at them and going, oh no, see, this must be the day of lawlessness because people are going against them. They're being gone against, and you know, and they're persecuted. And now, please be careful, because a lot of people that are claiming to be in God, you just watch their actions and their doctrine and the things they stand for, and it has nothing to do with God. That's going to be the key. That's why he says, let no one deceive you. Do y'all get this? Okay. He says, but when the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, it'll be very clear. This guy is going to be the most powerful guy in the world. You got what I'm saying? And the world is going to follow him and this set of countries. He's going to be very charismatic. He's going to, as we've seen with the two horns, look like a lamb, that whole entire thing, whole thing about him. And it goes on, it says, the man doomed to destruction. Watch this in verse 4. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped. Now, if I'm not worshipping God correctly, if I'm not, if I don't know who God is, I'm going to be confused if I'm still here. It goes on to say, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Okay, so in other words, this guy, when the temple is finally built, so we do see here, the temple is going to be built by that time. Okay, and this man is then going to go in there and basically saying, I am God. Many have tried to do this, evil men in the past, but this one is really going to be convincing. And you're probably saying, this is too obvious. How are people going to be that deceived? Well, watch what it says here. Some say that the one that is holding him back is the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's understand this first, and this goes back onto the tribulation part, and that he will go with the rapture. Okay, that the Holy Spirit, will go, in other words, disappear with the saints in the rapture, and they say he won't be on earth. Once again, I don't agree with that, because for those to get saved, they have the Holy Spirit, and nowhere does it show he doesn't exist, but that's what some say. And that we get that from 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. It goes on to say, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Verse 7 is showing that we still see remnants of it happening. But if we are being deceived by the wrong things that are happening, you're missing the true things that are happening. See, the secret powers of lawlessness that are happening now are more shown in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. Remember when self-centeredness and people not putting up with sound doctrine, not with what the world tries to say, because people are doing stuff that are against, you know, what we believed in our culture and stuff like that. You hear America sometimes use these things as if, oh man, America used to be, and now we're not. America was never, ever godly or in line with God. You can check it yourself. You don't have to ask me. In somebody's interpretation, maybe, but based on God's word, it never was. Do you understand that? Okay, so please be careful, and I'll show you why you have to be careful a little later. Okay, but that's why it's saying it's already at work, because we see 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. Those things are already, we see that now, but that's going to go in full force during this time in which the church and everything that people are calling themselves a church is just going to go away, and it's going to be very self-centered. And goes on and says, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Some say that's going to be in the rapture. Some just say it's when God says, okay, I'm getting out the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. But remember, it's not until he's revealed, till the tribulation starts, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So we know this guy is doomed either which way. Okay, but for our protection, not to get caught up in it, because we can be doomed if we allow ourselves to be deceived. How will we be deceived? Getting back to that, it says the man will deceive those that refuse to follow the truth. But watch this. And after a time, they will not be able to follow the truth. Did you catch that? They will not be able to follow the truth. So you have some people that are playing games who think, I'm going to wait till my last minute, then I'm going to accept Christ. Now, remember, accepting Christ is belief. For those who believe, and for those who follow the word, belief is my faith in action. It's me living for Christ, abiding in him. Okay, so we have to recognize that, right? And look what he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12. It says, the coming of lawlessness will be in accordance with the work of Satan. First of all, know the difference between what God does and what Satan does. You'd be surprised how people today are doing things that are in line more with Satan than they are with God. I'm going to give you one big example on groups out there that call themselves Christians, but they're doing something against God. We know in James 4 where it says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy towards God. But you'll get these people who call themselves Christians that are more loyal to the world. Did you catch that? Works of Satan. And then they are closer instead of being loyal to God. It goes on and says, the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceive those who are perishing. It'll deceive those who are not walking in Christ, the light, the truth, the way. Do you understand this? And they're easily deceived because they're following emotion, they're following culture, they're following intellect, or they're just going with ignorance. He goes in and watch what he says here. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Understanding to love the truth means I live the truth. If you love me, you'll do what I command. You'll do what the word says, not go what you think. That's why he says, now here's the thing that so many miss. He says, for this reason, because people are living with this refusal to follow God. And that only lasts for a certain amount of time, because watch this. In verse 11 says, for this reason, because they are living refusing, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So after a while, even before death, they won't be able to believe the truth. They'll wholeheartedly receive this mark because of this delusion that they allowed to be placed on them due to them mocking God. There are those playing games with God. And there's going to come a time where they won't be able to receive the truth. Think about that. The outcome for those then who received the mark is shown in Revelations 14, 9 through 12. It says, a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image. So they're going to worship this man and this image, either a statue, it could be some sort of symbol, whatever it is, but they're worshiping it and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand. See these three combinations, because they all work in concert with each other. He too will drink the wine of God's fury. What is God's wrath? God's fury, it says, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will, watch this, be tormented with burning sulfur. What does that sound like? Yes, it is hell. In the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises. How long? Forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, and for anyone who receives the mark of his name. He's saying for Christians, and this is the part, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. So he's showing during this time, there are going to be Christians, and they're Christians shown by their fruit. They live following what God says. Do y'all get this? Now, I got to be very clear, because I told you this. There's a group out there that goes out and they try to say that mark of the beast is the Sabbath day. Seventh-day Adventists have no problem pushing that issue. And man, they're very thorough on their history and the stuff that they put out there. And they even use some scripture here and there. I got to show you one major passage, and if you get a chance, read all of Colossians 2, but he kind of refers to let us understand that that's not it, okay? And even when you just follow that, it's different today, that Sabbath day. Some may even ask, well, I follow the Ten Commandments, and only this one thing I get confused on. What about the Sabbath day? Watch this. First of all, he says, and showing you, please don't be misled thinking the mark is now worshiping Sabbath day. Colossians 2, 16 through 18 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Did y'all catch that? Now, some people have referred, well, he's talking about pagan food rites and pagan religious festivals and pagan new moons and pagan Sabbath. No, he's actually talking about the actual Sabbath, because he says in verse 17, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. Here's the difference maker. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so right now, we now have access to the reality, and we no longer have to follow the physical renditions of the spiritual reality. Do y'all get that? See, in the Old Testament, when he told them what not to eat and what not to drink, that was based on what we know spiritually clean and unclean. When he gave the religious festivals that they were supposed to follow physically, we now spiritually understand these are the seasons of God's plans. Each of the religious festivals released and understood, some have already happened, some are going to happen, and they just gave you a message of, and we spiritually understand that now. New moon celebrations is a worship of God's timing and how God sets his time and not man's time. And as a Christian, we understand that today spiritually. We understand how God's timing fits spiritually, so we don't follow what man says is soon or whatever, we follow God's. And then he brings up the Sabbath day. So do we just get rid of the Sabbath day and it was gone? Here, if you go to Hebrews 4, he says the new day is today. Because the command on the Sabbath day is remember Sabbath day and keep it holy. In a physical way, they stop working. In a spiritual way, we are to be holy all the time. It has nothing to do with physical work. It is what it means to be holy. Now that we have access to spirituality in Christ, we know what it means to be holy. They did not. So they represented that in a physical way by not working. We represent that now in everything that we do, glorifying God. Whole study in itself. But do you understand that? That's why he says these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. A true Christian is Sabbath all the time. Go back to Romans 14 where it says some worship one day, some worship every day. That's up to them. However, we better be holy every day. We must be holy all the time. Y'all get this? He says reality is found in Christ. A true Christian follows Christ. This is why you got to know the word, or you'd be sitting there confused going, oh, do I follow them or not? And I wanted to stress that because I got a lot of stuff on the internet where people are misled because, once again, through their ignorance. So let's look at the three things that can put us in trouble if we're not fully following the word. First of all, it says those who worship the beast. And worship is going to be an allegiance, loyalty, or basis, things you do, on anything else other than Christ. That's a safe way of doing it. So when they give me these foundations, it's either going to be based on my country, it's going to be based on some sort of cause, or it can come from some sort of group, and you can put et cetera after that. Think about it. When you hear people make these rules that you're supposed to do, what are they based on? So you have some people that it's due to their country, not just here in America, but you go to other countries and they're loyal to their country. Now they'll add Jesus' name after it, but he said you can't serve two masters. So the world will tell you to do one thing, even though God says to do another thing, and they'll follow their country or their cause or their group. And you see this. So people that are anti their country, their group sometimes become their God. Those who are total loyal to their country, some we call patriots, their God is their country. And then you have those that just have a group. They join a group and they love that group. And that group can say anything it wants and uses God when it's convenient. And they don't when it's not. So that's a worship of the beast. It's going to be very easy to follow this country because it's going to fit your cause. It's going to fit your country. It's going to fit your group. Then it says worship his image. Remember, it's going to be a statue of some sort, a picture, a symbol, which once again, you have some people that treat things that are not sacred, sacred. Catholic Church is notorious for doing this, but some Christians are that way also. We'll wear our cross, have pictures of Jesus, which is not Jesus. They'll have certain things in their house that they treat as something holy. You got what I'm saying? A symbol of some sort. Some won't even do it with things of God. They'll do it with other things like a flag. Or a constitution, something that represents, and we make it holy, even though it's not holy. So some people are worshiping, and I'm not saying they're doing the beast right now, but they're in danger of doing it because they're already following that now. Look how some people are loyal to some object, to some symbol. Amen? And they treat it as if it's godly. I need you to pay close attention to that because many are guilty of that call themselves downright, hardcore Christians while they're turning and pledging allegiance, or they're pledging and they're following all these things that are not based on God. So then, because of their worship, which is distorted, because of them worshiping this image, because it's distorted, they receive this mark. And the mark is very clearly seen. It's going to be a decision you have to make, and it will disrupt how you work. It will disrupt how you do business. That's why it affects the rich, too. It affects how your money is spent. It affects where you're able to go. And it's going to be based on the beast and his image. And it's going to be totally against God. It's going to be a no-brainer for those who are following God. If I'm not following God, I'll be confused. You see, if we were using what people are using today for their foundations for the mark of the beast, and you shouldn't have a social security card, you really shouldn't have a license, amen, right? You shouldn't have no badge to get into your job. I mean, it's ridiculous what people are using, and they're still using it. People are scared. Oh, no, that's the mark of the beast. They're calling everything the mark of the beast. When the Bible says my people are destroyed by ignorance, he really meant that. Christians, we have access to the way and to the truth. Now, this mark is clearly told what it is. We just kind of went in a quick way going over this study of it. So I'm hoping some will have questions on it and that we may, you know, gain stronger understanding of it. But this kind of puts in basis, okay, what this mark is. So it's not going to be something that's going to accidentally be given to you, something that you accidentally get. But be very careful, or you may not do something out of ignorance instead of going by what God says and staying within his protection. Be alert in the Lord, and you won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you for your protection and for your guidance. We ask for your forgiveness, dear Lord, on our ignorance, on our allowing ourselves to be distracted. We do ask for blessings upon those in the world and take you serious, to take your word serious, to look to your word, to look to study your word. We want to walk in your ways at all times, doing what you have us to do, because we know that is what is protecting us completely. So as we leave out of here today, dear Lord, we just give you worship and praise and thank you so much for your son who died for us. That gospel of giving us the understanding that he died for our sins, that we may have life eternally. But teach us, dear Lord, in the guidance and understanding of belief. So as we go into that Sunday when he is risen, dear God, let us keep it as a remembrance, not just on that day, but from the day afterwards, of what our real purpose in this temporary life is as we look forward to the eternal. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.